overhead cables or underfloor? That's the question asked by data center build teams across the board. Where you choose to run your cables can have far-reaching effects in your data center. I'm Erin Watkins, and today I've got facilities expert Robert McFarlane here to shed some light on the subject of overhead cables in the data center. Bob is a principal with Shen, Milsom & Wilkie, a consulting and international technology design firm in New York City. He also teaches the Data Center Facilities course for Marist College. Hello, Bob, and welcome to the podcast.
Glad to be with you.
So what are some of the benefits to using overhead cables for power and data in the data center?
Well, it's interesting that when I ask my students and my clients this question, the answer I usually get is that it keeps cabling visible and therefore hopefully neater. So I guess it's the old out of sight, out of mind syndrome. It would appear that data center managers have kind of grown tired of dealing with the mess of accumulated cable under the raised floor. Most of this is data cable, of course, but power cabling can get out of control as well. Of course, as we know too well in many cases, in far too many data centers, one of the major benefits of getting all this stuff out of the floor is the elimination of underfloor air obstacles, so that cooling is usually improved as well. And since every barrier you remove from the air path also reduces the amount of fan power that's needed to move air under that floor, there's also a potential gain in energy efficiency. But lastly, I'm going to have to point out the advantage of avoiding the need to comply with Article 645 of the National Electrical Code and the dangerous EPO, or emergency power off button, that that article requires. Stories of data centers being instantly brought crashing down by someone pushing this button run rampant. And if you can get the cable overhead, particularly the power circuits, you have no reason at all to put this big, scary red button in your data center.
Who benefits most from overhead cables, and why would a data center choose it over more common underfloor options?
Well, I'd have to say that the data center manager probably thinks that he or she is the person that's going to benefit most, because the comments I get from those who've done it or who want to do it are mainly that it's easier, just easier to manage the facility. If you run conventional circuits overhead using flexible wiring, and I'm talking about power circuits now, the electricians usually find it easier to make adds and changes. And if you use the newer busway systems, you may not even need electricians to make power changes. And of course, if everything is labeled properly, it's also easy to see at a glance, you know, what circuits are in use, what's connected to them, and when things are overhead and they're visible instead of hidden under the raised floor. So again, simplified management for everyone involved is probably the answer. On the cabling side, it's easier to string cable overhead through accessible power trays than it is to remove and replace floor tiles and pull the cable through the floor. Anybody who's actually done this can certainly attest to that. And actually, this is true for both power and communications cable. But I want to emphasize one thing here. You know, people think, oh, I can run cable under the floor very easily just by pulling up a whole bunch of tiles. In order to avoid destabilizing the floor, which is very expensive to have realigned and re-leveled, you should never remove more than two adjacent tiles, and you should leave at least four tiles before removing the next two. So in reality, properly installing cable under a raised floor takes a bit of effort. And of course, there's the fact that cable is changing dramatically in data centers. Permanent cable infrastructures have been common for years now. That greatly reduces the amount of ad hoc cable that needs to be run and the associated mess that goes along with it. But that's lessening a bit, because we're moving more heavily into fiber interties, which means far less cable volume, but it's still a concern. Then there's the growing need, the growing trend, I should say, towards pre-terminated cable that comes from the factory cut to correct length, and that's available for both power and communications cable. It can be purchased this way pre-tested and well-marked, which is a real advantage. Now, it's generally easier to lay this cable into overhead trays than it is to fish it under the floor and up through the floor, just as we talked about a moment ago. And since bundled pre-terminated cable greatly reduces the propensity to over-cable, there'll be more need to add cable bundles over time as they are needed. What we used to do in many data centers was just put in all the cable that might be needed, and much of it ended up not used, and people were concerned about the extra cost. Now, with pre-terminated cable, you can put in just what you're really going to need day one. It's easy to buy another bundle from the manufacturer, stick it in the tray, overhead's very easy, bring it in, and just, you know, screw it into the rack. And, of course, when you use pre-terminated cable, that also eliminates that mess of wire cuttings in your data center every time more cable needs to be added. So we're pretty much specifying it as the norm these days, and as a result, we're putting a lot more overhead cable in the data centers because it's easier.
What are some of the technical and logistical challenges to implementing an overhead cabling system in an existing data center?
In an existing data center, it's really all about overhead space. If your ceiling is very low, or if you're in a seismic zone and have overhead cabinet bracing, then pathways for overhead tray or busway can be a problem. And the most common obstacle is columns in the middle of cabinet rows. Those can get messy to get around with this stuff. But speaking of messes, what you really want to avoid is suspending the tray from overhead in an existing facility. Drilling into overhead concrete or removing insulation from beams so you can attach anchors, that creates dust and contaminants, and you just don't want that stuff in your equipment. So in an existing facility, you're usually better off mounting the tray to the tops of the cabinets and racks. Many of those are made to accept the accessory standoffs that are just made for this purpose.
And what options are available for businesses that want to incorporate overhead cabling in a new build?
Well, the real decision there is on power. Are you going to use conventional flexible power whips in the cable tray, or are you going to go for power busway? That decision will probably be based on a combination of cost and flexibility. Busway is probably going to be more expensive initially, but if you're going to be making a lot of changes in your data center, or can't predict what you're going to need and where and when, then busway is without question the ultimate flexibility. If you're not familiar with power busway, think of it as a giant version of track lighting. You buy modules rated for the circuit amperage that you want and that have the receptacle type you need to connect the specific cabinet. And you just plug it into the module in the overhead busway, just like you'd put a light fixture into a light track. They're bigger, of course, but some systems will let you connect anywhere you want along the length of the bus, while others have connection points at fixed intervals. They're close enough that probably doesn't make a lot of difference. All of them allow you to do this while it's hot, that is, without shutting off the power. So it's really pretty neat. But in my opinion, a very important thing to consider if you're going to use busway is that the connection point, or what they call the infeed to the bus, can be IR scanned without shutting off the power. Mechanical connections of electrical wiring can loosen over time. They should be scanned at least yearly with an infrared camera to make sure they're not starting to overheat. Now, this, of course, should be done for every part of the data center power system, and the busway should be no exception. So if you're going to use overhead busway, some busways can be specified with an IR scanning window in the infeed, and I consider that very important. For communications cabling, as well as for power whips, if you're not using busway, our strong preference is for the basket-type cable tray. It's lightweight, it's easy to install, junctions and corners can be radiused without special fittings, and that's important to getting maximum capacity out of the tray and to avoiding the overbending of cables. You know, cable can be fed through the openings in these trays, although I always want to see the proper spill-out fittings used, and power boxes can easily be attached to them with adapters that are made for the purpose. And lastly, because it's wide open, air moves through the basket easily, and you can always see what's in it.
So energy efficiency is kind of a buzzword these days. And on that same vein, I'd like to know how large an impact overhead power distribution and data cabling have on energy efficiency and cooling.
Well, by itself, it really doesn't have any. The impact it may have is the removal of air blockages from under the raised floor, which we mentioned at the beginning of this. But I do have to emphasize that if underfloor cabling, both power and communications, are designed and maintained correctly, then there shouldn't be any real difference. It's more a matter of preference of managing the data center.
Based on your experience with data center facilities, What will be the most popular method going forward, overhead or underfloor?
I think I'd have to say that in the relatively near future, we're probably going to see about 50-50. A number of those will not even use raised floor. Some still will. In some cases, the raised floor will be used for cooling, but all power and communications will be overhead. In others, communications will be overhead, but power will still be under the floor. And in those cases, the floor may even be low and not even used for cooling, just for power. Doing a lot more overhead cooling these days. But at some point in the future, frankly, I think we're likely to see most of the power and cabling overhead, with the raised floor used mainly for water piping to serve the cooling needs of close-coupled cooling systems. With all the high-density stuff that we're getting nowadays, we're going to be using more water-cooled cabinets and in-row coolers and rear-door coolers, things that require water piping under the floor. And there's always such a paranoia about water in the vicinity of cable that that alone, I think, will probably move an awful lot of the cabling to overhead.
Well, thank you very much for joining us today, Bob. I appreciate your input, and we'll see you all next time.
Thank you very much.